Montgomery's done incredibly well to get up above Cargill and find Bennett. It's into the box. McNulty, cut back for Roberts. It's Gary Roberts for Bobby. Bobby are leading in the fourth round of the FA Cup. Mark McNulty, but a good chance by Doyle. For McNulty on the edge. Mark McNulty, oh, short yes. For Bobby. Smashes it past McCormack. Won by Doyle. Finished by the returning Mark McNulty. First left blood for Bobby. They're in dreamland early here at Fratton.
There's a through ball to Jamal Lowe. Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, fantastic, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
That is it. Pompey are champions. They've won League Two in the most dramatic of circumstances.
The PO4 podcast with Hugh Bunce, proud to be Pompey.
Hi, Pompey fans, and welcome to PO4 Podcast episode 219. Well, Pompey didn't play, but it's advantage Pompey as Derby trip up away at Northampton. Join the podcast today is Andy Mitchmore. How are you, Andy?
Hello, Bunce. Yeah, I'm good. I'm currently a nervous wreck. We are recording during the playoff final between Wales and Poland for a place in the Euros. So for the first time since Chris Coleman was being rumoured as our replacement manager for Kenny Jackett, I'm rocking the Wales top on a live podcast recording. So if we score and I'm halfway through a sentence, I'm not going to hold in my emotions. And if we concede, I'm also not going to hold in my emotions. So I hope you've got the beeper. If we go a goal down to Robert Lewandowski, Marie Curie, and what the famous Polish people are there? Chopin, was he Polish? I think that's all the famous Polish people I've listed there.
That's way too classy for me or Freddie, to be honest, to answer that question on whether he's Polish or not. Why don't you go with some famous Polish TV reality stars instead? Freddie won't be able to help you out.
Have you not seen, what's their equivalent of Geordie Shore? Like Warsaw Shore? That's quite catchy. Warsaw's Poland, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're Warsaw, really dumbing yourself down now. Thank you for letting me know that Wales are actually playing today, because until you're wearing that Wales shirt, when you were wearing the Wales shirt, I genuinely thought you were just happy about your Six Nations appearance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Six Nations all went to plan, as previously discussed, finishing bottom of the table and losing to every single team in the comp. So pretty much what we'd envisaged at the start, that all went to, you know, we executed well. So now on to the football. This, like, bearing in mind, we didn't qualify for a major tournament for, what was it, 58 years? From 1958 to 2016. The fact that this could potentially be our third Euros in a row is obscene. So, yeah, fairly excited for that one. By the time this has gone out, we probably would have lost to a 94th-minute Lewandowski header. And my optimism is going to sound so misplaced. But, yeah, if my mood tails off in the latter stages of the pod, you know why.
Considering there's no games to review, before I start tailing off telling stories again about how me and Chris Coleman had drinks after he got sacked, let's bring in the man himself, Freddie Webb. How are you, Freddie?
No, I am not bad, Hugh. Yeah, I've had a decent weekend. It was strange with Pompey not playing. I went on non-league day, went and watched Baffin's Milton Rovers against Blackford and Langley. Baffin's stuffed them 8-0. Their keeper got lobbed twice. Pompey youth product Jack Fox scored. And yeah, me and Rob and his mates went on a pub crawl in North End. A lot of fun. So many pubs that I wouldn't go into otherwise, but there we are. Also into Rob's favourite pub as well.
Why wouldn't you go into them otherwise, Fred?
I don't know. I just never thought about going into them. No reason. One of them, I read a crime story for one of them, and that's why I wouldn't have gone into one of them. And that was the Fountain, because some guy got glassed while drinking his beer at the bar. But probably a one-off incident, really.
I mean, that sort of thing just gives a pub personality, doesn't it? If there's a risk of being glassed at the bar, that's how I choose my hangouts, my haunts. Nope, no response, Fred? No, Freddie, we all know you go looking for a fight as soon as you walk in a pub. It's like the Wild West. You know, when someone walks into a Wild West pub and, like, the doors swing open and everyone turns around in fear as you pull your guns out your holsters. I'm quite attracted to this version of you in my head. You dressed up in sort of leather.
I don't think anybody wants to picture me in leather, to be quite frank.
Now every single listener is. It's like when you tell someone, don't think about a pink elephant, the first thing you think about is a pink elephant. I want none of our listeners to imagine you in skin tight leather with two pistols. Excellent. Just gonna, let that hang. Excellent news. Sorry, listener base. Hugh, please carry on while we all try to control our emotions.
Yeah, I'm not really sure where to go with that, to be honest. Apart from the fact Freddie said that he went into Rob's favourite pub and pubs that you wouldn't usually go in. Rob's favourite pub definitely goes down as pubs I wouldn't usually want to go in. Dark, dingy pubs playing metal music with about six people standing around with long hair sweating at me is definitely up there in pubs I don't want to go to. So
it was the exact opposite. It was the Green Posts in Hilsey, and people were shotting Jaeger bombs at 5 o'clock in the evening. So it was my sort of pub. For Rob's, it definitely wasn't.
Tell you what, I'll take that back, Rob, then. That was sounds like a great pub to go to in comparison to what I'm usually used to. So can you take me to some of these pubs, please, when we go to Manchester rather than the usual haunts? Go on, Andy, get in there.
Two things. Firstly, I've turned Rob down for a metal night in Manchester for the Friday night before Bolton already. I've already rejected that offer. Secondly, how does someone go about sweating at you? I'm curious by that turn of phrase. Are they sort of sweating and then flicking it like they're in the gym? Or how do they sweat at you? Or is it like headbanging? Like what's the crack?
Yeah, just generally throwing sweat in my direction, head banging, just sort of just getting near me, mate. Just throwing sweat at me. Let's just leave it at that. It's let people imagine it along with Freddie in his cowboy boots, in his leather outfit, with people throwing sweat at him. So I think this is a bit graphic for the podcast. Oh, let's get started. Let's get started on what we're going to do today, because we didn't have a game to review. First of all, we're going to recap all the things that have happened over the weekend since we last spoke. And then we are going to announce the winner of the Patrick Adjerman shirt, which was collected and delivered to Rob's house. And finally, we spoke to George from the Wickham Way to preview everything you need to know about the game on Friday against Wickham. Right. Freddie, what's happening in the news? Do you have the update for the injury update? Because there's quite a lot that's actually happened, speaking about who's going to be available for the game on Friday against Wickham.
Yeah, the first bit of major news is that Christian Saidy will miss Friday's match against Wickham, according to Andy Moon on Twitter. But he also said that Tino Anderin is back from his injury and is back with the club again, which is a brilliant boost, because I thought Saidy would be perfect for this sort of game against Wickham. Playing against the physical side, two banks of four, you need someone for the ball to stick to and for others to run past. So Saidy would have been brilliant, but it seems like Tino is fit and could potentially play at the number 10 in that role. I don't know what you guys think. I think whenever Tino's played, he seemed to be able to drive the ball forward an awful lot, and he's fairly physical, so he seems like he could be a decent fit.
Do you bring him straight back into the starting 11 after such a long time out? Surely not, Fred. You bring him on as an impact sub, right?
Well, who else would you play at number 10? Would you play Pert Harris at number 10 against Wickham, where he'd get kicked all over the place?
I can't see them risking Anderin from the start, unless they played him for 60 minutes and did that limit his minutes thing. But that is an option. They could go with that, I suppose. I think Messina was saying in the news, wasn't he, that he was making great progress, looking bright, etc. So maybe they start him from the start of the game. But I've got a feeling Messina likes to bring people on as a sub first, doesn't he, before he works them into the starting 11. So Callum Lang is also out injured. If we're going to go into the sort of who can play, who can't play, we sort of need to spell that out, I suppose. So Callum Lang also won't be available. He's hopefully back for the Shrewsbury game, according to Messina. So in that number 10 position, Saidy out, Lang out, you don't want to play Kamara through the middle, let's be honest. Who do you put in that position? So the other option, I suppose, is to go back to the Bishop and Yenge response. That is a potential. They could start two up top, and then Anderin comes on later in the game.
Potentially, yeah. If that's the few options at number 10 with all the injuries, Yenge will be back after him scoring against Lebanon earlier in the week. And that tandem actually did reasonably well against Peterborough, especially with Bishop playing a little bit deeper and bringing a lot of defenders out of their shape and basically just using them up, so Yenge had a lot of space to run into. So that seems like it's either that or the Anderin option. And I think you pick the fittest player, don't you, at that point?
Well, you do play Miles Pert-Harris because he has been starting him in games. So I don't see a reason now why you couldn't put him in 10 and play him in that position if you wanted to, and then bring Anderin on later on in the game if it's not working. I sort of feel it's a bit of a toss-up between the two. Andy, what do you think?
Yeah, I think it's it's fairly clear that putting Bishop in at 10 behind Yenge isn't Messino's first choice. I also think Yenge is likely, even though he's available for the game, I think there is going to be some sort of lag from the travel. I mean, coming back west from Australia, assuming he's coming, yeah, coming back westwards from Australia is worse in, sorry, is better in terms of jet lag than it is going from the UK to Australia. So you wouldn't imagine the jet lag would be horrendous. But I mean, realistically, I'm, you know, you don't feel 100% after making that trip within a couple of days. So I don't think we'd be seeing Yenge starting with Bish in behind. I'd imagine we'll see Pierre Harris there in 10, because that's where he started when he first played for us before he got moved back into that 8 role because of injuries. So I'd imagine Pierre Harris will be at 10 with Yenge on the bench, Bishop up top, Andrew in on the bench to potentially come on after, as you say, Hugh, 60, 65 minutes if the game situation is right. Come on! Fucking get in there! And it's been ruled out for offside.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Live on the podcast. That is definitely making the final edit, Andy Mitchamore.
Oh, no, I don't drop the F-bomb very often on the pod, do I?
Oh, it's great, though.
Sorry, listeners who actually enjoy the pod because we don't swear much, but...
Do you know what?
That's got to go VAR. He's not off.
Oh, dear.
The only thing that I'm actually really devastated about is the fact that because I'm still recovering from not being very well, I look like absolute shit. So I don't want to post a video of Andy's reaction. Maybe I'll just clip it. Just mate, Andy's face in the background.
That's got to go to VAR, surely.
It might not be the only selection headache for John Messino. Given the way that Gavin White played against Peterborough, has he done enough to be in the contention to start, or do you keep him on the bench?
I personally think I liked his energy off the bench. I think the fact that he sort of like can close down play, he's going to bring a bit of energy as the game tires down. Wickham can make you a little bit leggy how they play, so maybe later on in the game he brings on those forward types to sort of close games out, implement the high press later on in the game. I sort of feel that's where Gavin White fits into the system at this moment in time. I still think he plays Kamara on the right, Lane on the left, even though Lane's come back from internationals, MPH probably down the middle, and then, you know, like for like, the rest of them. That's what I generally think. I think the bigger issue for me here is Swanson played really well in the last game he played as well. Do you bring Rafferty straight back into the lineup, Andy Mitchamore?
If he's fit, I do. Yes, I think he's been such a key part of that successful run we've been on while Swanson's been out injured. I don't think Swanson has done anything wrong exactly, but I don't think Swanson's done anything wrong at all, in fact. But I do think that neither's Rafferty, and Rafferty's established his place in that spot. And if he's 100% fit, I think he's in our best 11 for me. And I love that we've got that, you know, that issue where we've got two players and one of them is probably going to feel hard done by if they don't start, which is just a great problem to have as long as it's well managed in the club, which I'm sure it is. So, yeah, I start with Rafferty, to be honest with you, mate. His contributions defensively and going forward have just been immense for the last however many, you know, couple of months, 3 months, since Christmas especially for me.
I know I agree with you, mate. But I know we spoke about Callum Lang not being available and coming back for Shrewsbury. I swear he was supposed to be available for selection a lot earlier than he is now. I was under the assumption...
The previous stuff in the news, I think it was around about now or a week ago that he was supposed to be back. Because it was mentioned initially that it was like a minor injury, and Messino said to Andy Moon that Lang still wasn't quite there. So it might just be like complications, which might be a bit frustrating.
I mean, setbacks happen with injuries all the time, don't they? I mean, Hugh, you know better than most at the moment how slow stuff can be to heal when you've had an injury. So yeah, setbacks happen. I'd imagine that's... I don't think there's anything more to it than that.
We'll also come to talk about this when we speak to George in a bit, but Kieran Sadlier on the left-hand side is very much an inside forward. He's not that sort of rapid sort of player who, like, you know, Mason Clarke, you need that extra level of pace as well that maybe Swanson has over Rafferty. So I think Rafferty will start at right back against Sadlier. I think he'll match up well against him as well. So yeah, I pretty much expect that to be the case going forward. All right, we covered the injury news. Has anything actually happened apart from that, or should we move on to the shirt giveaway?
Yenge's debut goal for Oz. That's lovely to see against the powerhouse that is Lebanon. Oz have got them again in June, so he'll be keen to continue that record. Yeah, really good to see him pick up his first goal for his country, which is obviously a massive moment for anyone, as as you know, all three of us have obviously gone through that emotional experience of scoring our first international goal for, I mean, myself for Wales, you lads for England. Yeah, it's amazing to see Yankee pick up that first goal. It was a smart finish from close range, lovely ball in from the left. And yeah, in a winning Aussie team, I think it's just showing what a shrewd signing that was. Because, I mean, it was it last summer? It was when I was out there, wasn't it? It was, you signed from Western Sydney, somewhere or other. Western Sydney Wanderers, I think?
Yeah, Western Sydney Wanderers. The scouting team basically used video scouting for the entire profiling of Yenge and decided he was good enough to bring him in. And obviously he had the flying start in the League Cup, but then got injured immediately. We thought, oh God, I'd heard murmurings of his injury record beforehand, but we also heard things from analysts down there, which basically said if you kept him fit, he'd be an active and contributive member to the squad, and he's turned out more than that. And I wouldn't mind now for Pompey in any game to start Bishop or Yenge up front.
Yeah, he's kind of elevated himself from being that, we're always going to start with Bishop and Yenge is there as an impact sub if we need it. He's elevated himself to, for me, on a par. Obviously, they bring very different aspects of strength to the game, but he's kind of elevated himself to being on a par. I'd be just as happy seeing him starting as Bishop, depending on the opposition and what type of, you know, what type of formation and defence they're likely to come up against. But Yenge just drops into those gaps between the defensive players so nicely for that ball through the centre of midfield, and then one touch and turn, or one touch and setting up those wide players, does it so well. It seemed recently that when Bishop's been doing that particularly well, taking a touch and facing away from goal and setting out the wide players, he's been doing it a bit more deep. Whereas where Yenge has started and playing in that nine role, or where he's been brought on and playing in that nine role, he seems to do it closer to the opposition's back four. And both of them, you know, they do the same job in different places on the pitch, but they both do it so effectively. So yeah, it's not totally advanced analysis, is it? But lovely to see the bloke get on the score sheet, and hopefully he won't be knackered for the run-in. I mean, it's only going to sort of strengthen, hopefully, his feelings towards Pompey as a club, because, you know, he's done so well for us. It's put him in the eye of the Aussie selectors, and he doesn't owe the club anything for that. But hopefully, at least it gives him sort of positive reinforcement, or, you know, positive associations with the side, so we can keep him long term, so we can bang him in the Championship, boys.
Freddie, talking about that, Messinio said, you know, he's going to pick the striker who works for the opposition. Who do you start against Wickham? Before we speak to George, out of the two strikers, do you go back to Bishop with Yenge potentially obviously playing over the international break? Or do you think there's actually a better fit potentially to start Yenge against Tavazzoli and the rest of the defence at Wickham?
It's going to be a very physical game, and that's the major concern in this. Last time Wickham played in their 2-0 win against Northampton, the double pivot in front of the back four was Freddie Potts and Denmead legend Matt Butcher. That's not the most overly physical of double pivot. Both of them are quite advanced in some ways. I wouldn't mind having Bishop, though, against Tafazzoli, because Tafazzoli is a sort of centre-half that can put some strong tackles in. And considering Yenge has been on international duty, been through the jet lag and everything, use him as the impact player. I think that's probably the way to go, if it was me picking it anyway.
I was also watching the Derby game against Northampton, and they looked a bit susceptible to pace and balls over the top. I was just looking at that Derby defence, and obviously think about previewing the Derby game, but at that sense, looking forward and looking at who matches up against who, I thought they really struggled against that sort of ball into the channels, balls over the top. So for me, if you're looking at the two, maybe against a much more physical defence of Wickham, you start Bishop. And then you turn around to the game against Derby, and then maybe Yenge is actually a better fit to run the channels, those balls over the top. They're not the most athletic back line. And I do think that maybe Yenge, a bit like against Bolton with Santos, could find a bit more space in behind them.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I was thinking of making the Santos parallel myself, actually. Yeah, that's what came into my head. Oh, it's pretty boring when I just agree with you. Yeah, I support what you just said. How boring and unoriginal.
There we go. Sometimes the comments is right, eh? Andy, let's move on to your bit then here, because you are taking charge of this. You did the promo speak. You're the one with the Excel spreadsheet prepped and ready. And let's get going with the shirt giveaway draw.
Dankeschön, Hugh. Oh my word, Poland almost just scored. Now, it's going to give a little bit away in terms of the order that we've recorded this week's episode by my emotions fluctuating. This is actually the last bit we're recording, and we've just moved into injury time at the end of the second half, and it is 0-0. And Lewandowski just flashed it past the post from 20 yards and gave me a little bit of a moment. But if we throw this away, I'm going to sound quite happy in the sign-offs, which we've already recorded. So it's going to be fairly obvious that we've not recorded this in a linear order because my nerves are shredded and this is not good. And it could be about to go to injury time. Anyway, I am going to share my screen with you both so we have full literal transparency as to what's going on in the draw here. So we've got a random number generator up where we are going to figure out who gets this Patrick Adjumang framed match shirt. Okay, so boys, you have seen me do the random number generator there, and we found our winner, who is on Twitter, at Debo Jono. So Jonathan, who is 19 and a Pompey sufferer, apparently. I like him already. Jonathan, we will drop you a DM. Congratulations, and you have won the Patrick Adjumang match-worn shirt framed. So, yeah, we'll be in touch. Thank you to everyone who entered. We had going on 1,000 entries. I think it was like 800, actually over 800 entries. So a good one to win. We'll be in touch.
Yeah, thanks everyone that entered. And congrats, Jonathan. Enjoy your shirt. Right, let's move on. We spoke to George from the Wickham Way to preview everything about the game on Friday. We discussed the new system with the new manager under Bloomfield, how things have changed at Wickham. We touched on the training ground, the falava going on there. And we just spoke about everything to do with how we should line up and who Pompey should play up top against Wickham to maximise our attacking potential. So here's George from the Wickham Way. All right, I'm here with George from the Wickham Way. And George, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you very much for having me. Good evening, fellas.
Yeah, no, thanks for coming on, George. It's an interesting one when I look at Wickham, because obviously you've got the transfer from, you know, what a lot of Pompey fans would think of Ainsworth at Wickham and, you know, a set way of playing, and you have Matt Bloomfield come in. How do Wickham set up now, and what are the differences, I suppose, for fans that aren't maybe as aware as us on, you know, how Wickham play now under Matt Bloomfield?
I think you touched on it well. Style of football is completely different. You know, rightly or wrong, we had a, from the outside, a view on Wickham was very much long ball football, you know, not very much possession, sort of the dirty team that no one wants to play. And to a certain degree, that was, you know, understandable. It wasn't pretty to watch even for us when we were winning. You know, Matt has come in, he's done a good job so far-ish. You know, results haven't been perfect, but there was the style of football certainly improved. And you know, from a, I guess, an entertainment point of view, that's all you could really ask for.
What have the fans thought about the change in the style of play? Because obviously it's nicer to watch a better brand of football, but if it's not getting the results, then fans can only have so much patience, can't they?
Yeah, it's not as if we're losing every week. You know, under Ainsworth, if we were playing, you know, awful football most weeks, but it was getting results. And so you've sort of got to take the good and the bad. You know, Ainsworth, he had this culture where players would run through brick walls for him. I know it's one of those cliches that a lot of clubs talk about, but I think Ainsworth did it better than most, where he signed players who, you know, weren't really good enough for the level Wickham were playing at ever. But they just got results because of the culture and the atmosphere around the club. Bloomfield has come in, he's, you know, signed players who are good quality on the ball, better footballers. You know, results have dipped slightly, as seen by our league position. But, you know, it's an entertainment business where we're paying fans to watch a good brand of football. And I think we're getting that to a degree.
One of the sort of main ways that non-Wickham fans probably have previously engaged with Wickham content is through Ryan Tafazoli's vlog, sort of behind the scenes at Wickham. I'm sure you get this mentioned to you a lot, doing preview pods and such like. That seems to have died a death that coincided with Matt Bloomfield coming in. Any idea why that stopped? Is that a Bloomfield sort of prerogative, or is that because results kind of went a bit downhill and it didn't make great YouTube content to be losing a lot of weeks? Or, yeah, why aren't we getting that content anymore? Do you have any idea?
I think the content stopped after he got skinned by Chris MD in one of the videos.
Yeah, I saw that actually.
Well, I can only assume that's what it is. But yeah, it's been a few months since his last one. I don't think it's anything to do with management or anything. I think it is just results business. You know, your players are free to do what they want. But if they're going around posting YouTube videos with YouTubers when you're on a losing streak, it doesn't really make for good viewing from the inside or outside.
You're on a really good vein of form at the moment, aren't you? You know, Pompey fans obviously we're doing well at this moment in time, but looking at how you're doing at this moment in time, you've won four out of the last five. The only loss coming, you know, against Barnsley when you had a red card in that game as well. We all know how good a team Barnsley are as well. So what's been the reason behind this success? You seem to be keeping quite a lot of clean sheets as well. So is it sort of that defensive solidarity at the back and then building from there and then being able to close teams out? And, you know, what's the reason behind this more recent success, I suppose?
It's really picked up since the January window. We had a really, really positive transfer window, brought in a lot of good players and chipped out quite a bit of dead wood. You know, like I say, we're conceding less goals. I think we've cut out the stupid mistakes in recent weeks. You know, we had the really, really poor run of form up until the new year, really, which was, you know, mostly our own doing. We were never really battered in matches. We were just conceding sloppy goals. We've cut those out. We're much more clinical going forward. You know, we're scoring more goals, keeping them out. And, you know, that's a good recipe for success. So really, I'd say some of our transfer business was really good. But also, I think there's been tactical tweaks as well, which have really helped us.
Who are some of those biggest names that have come in and changed the side around? Because obviously Matt Bloomfield wanted to change that style of football, and he can't do that without bringing in high quality players to be able to do that.
I think the main one has been Bez Labala. You know, our eyebrows were raised when he came in because he's not really been a goal scorer ever. He's been at 26 years old. But he's really sort of come in and transformed our front line. Matt Butcher in from Plymouth, real, real calm head in midfield. League winner last year, of course, so he knows what he's doing. And Nigel Longwyke as well has come in on loan from Wolves, again with Plymouth last year, a league winner. It's those three, really. And again, it's... you know, shipping out the deadwood. And, you know, I don't want to single out names, but we had a few older players who were sort of, you know, not doing themselves justice in our system. We've got rid of those, brought in younger, fresher players who are willing to run around a bit, and it's, you know, it's improved results.
It's an interesting one, really, just looking at Matt Butcher's obviously a good player. You managed to raid Plymouth and pick up some good players there as well. You've got Leroy Leahy, I think, is a very good player as well, playing at the back there. Going forward, though, is it just very much a sort of score by committee, isn't it? You've got Lee, he's got eight goals, obviously he plays at the back, and then look at Taylor with five, Oakes with four. It very much is scoring with committee. So how are Pompey going to go about shutting you out, especially with us being away from home?
Don't concede any set pieces. You know, we're not a free-flowing team. We don't create too much from open play. But once we get a set piece in and around the box, you know, you've got Leahy with his left foot who can whip in a really dangerous ball, and a, you know, a back five, back four with an average height of 6'5", you're going to win a lot of headers in the box. So I think if you, you know, Wickham have always been a side that have done well on set pieces. You know, Akinfenwa over the years, Sam Vokes, they win balls in the box. That's where a lot of our successes come from. So, you know, I think it's probably been the same Portsmouth team talk for years against Wickham. Don't give away stupid talent in and around the box because you'll get punished.
Yeah, and set pieces could be a big thing in this game. Looking at the set piece XG according to Opta, you know, you're fourth in the league, 14.7 with 13 goals, and Pompey are actually top of it with 17.49 expected goals with 15 set play goals. So this would definitely be a big thing to look at in the game. Andy, have you got any Wales news, or are you actually going to ask a question to George?
I was going to ask a question to George.
Go on then.
We've gone close, but Poland had a bit of a spell of pressure just now, so it's been a stressful few minutes, which is why I've been quiet. Yeah, I was going to ask George, like Wickham, because of the poor run, I guess, you had when Bloomfield first came in, at this stage in the season, you're basically the archetypal mid-table right now, yeah? In terms of your wins, draws and defeats columns, it's as close to the same number in all of them as any team in the league. You've got 13 wins, 11 draws, 14 losses. It's, you know, compared to other teams in the league, basically the same for all the columns. Sitting in 13th on joint on points with 12th, playoffs are unlikely, not impossible. I mean, if you beat us, you're what, 10 points off playoffs with 9 games to go. So it's not impossible, but it would require a bit of a sort of a certain set of circumstances to make it. what's the motivator for the end of the season now? Have you switched into building for next season mode in terms of players playing who are more likely to be at the club next season? Is it just every game on its merits? Like, what's kind of the Wickham vibe on what the point is, I guess, for want of a better phrase, for the last few games of the season?
Yeah, I think we're in a good place, first and foremost. I think most fans would have been happy with where we are at the moment. But, you know, we've got the FL Trophy final to look forward to. I think that's at the forefront of everyone's minds, building a bit of momentum up to that game, because playing a team like Peterborough on the big pitch at Wembley, it's going to be a really tricky game. So I think we're not quite on the beach yet. I think there's a lot of players who are still staking their claim to play in that one. But I think as soon as that's out the way, I think playoffs are a long shot. You know, I'm sure we'll give it a go in the next few games. But, you know, I think I should imagine that planning for next season has already started, if not well underway. So I don't think there's too much to pay for in the league. I think that's done and dusted as far as we're concerned. But there is the big final to look forward to.
I guess on that note, you mentioned the Wembley final there. One thing that I guess as an outsider from not being a Wickham fan, it's quite interesting for us at the moment, is it's looking less likely now you're going to have to deal with some sort of Reading protest outside Wembley for your final. What is the Wickham view on the whole training ground situation? Because obviously Reading now have got a decent offer in, by the sounds of it, from someone in North America to buy everything, including the training ground, where a couple of weeks ago or a week ago, it looked like Wickham were going to be buying that at a price less than its market value. I think it was 20 odd million when it's worth 57 or something along those lines. And there have been some very vocal thoughts on social media about the entire situation from both sides. What's the Wickham viewpoint on everything that's gone down there?
Yeah, I've got to be careful what I say, because I've been public enemy number one for the last 3 weeks on Reading Twitter. As far as we're concerned, when the news came out, it was obviously really positive. For a club like Wickham to be able to put in an offer like that in the first place was just insane. You know, we could afford it despite the lease. We've got a lot of money coming into the club at the moment. But, you know, as much as it's a good thing for Wickham, or was going to be a good thing, you've got to remember that the Reading fans are on the other side of that, and they might not have a club in 3 weeks to a month. So whilst we were sort of really pleased with it all and really looking forward to the future, ultimately it hasn't panned out. But, you know, we've got to remember that there's two sides to every story. You know, I got a lot of stick from Reading fans for sort of saying the truth and how good it was for us. But, you know, the bottom line is that it sort of shows the position Wickham are in now. We're not here to make up the numbers. We can compete, and we will compete going forward.
I suppose that just allows you to have some comfort, though, that you've got that funding there that means that you can, you know, separate to this point, I suppose, I don't know, whether you go out and build your own one or whatever you want to do, the investment's there, so you'll be able to, you know, take the club forward from there, really. Just moving back onto the game quickly, I wanted to ask you about our two different striker profiles. You've got Colby Bishop, who you know, be quite familiar with in this system. Obviously, maybe physically, maybe matches up a bit better against, say, Tavazzoli and your back line quite there. Or you've got Kasinga Yengi, who's Australian striker, who's been on great form at the moment. He just scored as well against Lebanon for Australia in the international break. He very much likes to run the channels, getting behind, stretch players. He's a bit pacier, a bit more direct. If you were from the Wickham point of view, is there a profile there of a striker that you wouldn't want to match up against more?
Yeah, I think you'd touch on it. I think we'd probably be more comfortable against Colby Bishop. You know, I think they're two really, really good strikers, and I'm, you know, thoroughly surprised you haven't moved heaven enough to get them into the same system and get them into the same squad, because on paper, you've probably got the best strike force in the league by a long, long way. And I think, yeah, Joe Lowe and Tapazoli probably deal well with Colby Bishop on the physical side of it, whereas Cassini Yengi is a little bit more mobile in that sense. So I suppose it's a tricky one, because you've got to set up to play against both of them. You can't prioritise the idea of playing just one of them. You've got to sort of prepare for both scenarios, which I think is where, you know, the concern is going to lie this week. But like I said, they're both excellent. Whichever one we play against is going to cause problems.
Yeah, I think if we're not winning, you know, later on in the game, you might see both of them at some point together as well. You know, it happened just purely because of injuries. You know, Sadie, who plays number 10, came off. Bishop dropped a bit deeper in that game, and then Yengi pushed on forward. So Bishop was almost coming to collect the ball and laying it off and then letting Yengi run on. So that's the first time it's really worked, I suppose, with the two of them playing up top in that system.
It worked. I thought it worked fairly well. We did it very briefly against Bristol Rovers as well while we were chasing the game, while it was it 0-0 or 1-1? And we did it for the last half an hour, playing them both up top together. And we ended up conceding and losing the game in the last minute. But they did create enough chances that we probably should have won that game. But yeah, I agree. I'm slightly surprised we haven't seen it as much as we have. We haven't seen it more than we have. I think it's mostly because so much of our strength comes from those attacking players on the wing. So the system works so well with Kamara and Lane on opposite wings. And what we do with playing that, you know, either one or the other, maximises the impact that Lane and Kamara can have. And I think that sort of long game, he's prioritised that as what's going to be the greater threat over 90 minutes rather than having both of them playing two up top.
Right, let's get into wrapping up to the fun bit of the podcast then. George, I want to know your score prediction, please, for the game on Friday and any goal scorers.
I've got a bit confident on home soil. Our home form's been really good at the minute. And like I say, we've got the farm to look forward to. So players are going to be looking to put in good performances. I don't think there'll be too many goals. I think both teams will cancel each other out fairly well. So I'll go 1-0 Wickham. And I'll chuck in a Jolo goal from a corner or something.
Nice, thanks. I think every Derby Bolton and Peterborough and Barnsley fan will be backing that result. So, you know, I hope it doesn't happen at all. But good luck for the rest of the season, apart from on Friday. And appreciate coming on the show, especially on short notice, which I've just managed to get you on literally on the day. So thanks, George. It's much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, George, for coming on the podcast. It's not going to be an easy game, is it, Freddie, against Wickham, who are not just a physical team now, who sort of slow games down, etc., but seem to have much more of a sort of a system that allows them to play the ball well, just a little bit more free-flowing. They're not completely this sort of possession-based team that they were before, but this is definitely a hybrid, isn't it, between the two? And I think Bloomfield wanted it to be a lot more possession-based, and maybe as he works his squad towards next season, you're going to see that transition, and we're sort of partway through that.
Yeah, Pompey are coming up against a dangerous side, aren't they? Bezlebar up front. George mentioned he was the striker in form, but also the fact that they still got all the old weapons for set pieces who are going to be able to get on those headers. So Pompey's defensive back four needs to be on tip-top form to be able to deal with those. And it's quite obvious that in the midfield, they're going to still try to slow the game down, put the proper tackles in, make things difficult, sit in the shape. So if Pompey have a lion's share of possession, if they end up doing, it will be more difficult. I'm still fairly confident, but it's definitely not an easy game by any manner of means.
At this stage, Andy, you have to go into games confident, don't you? Because even with injuries and setbacks that could potentially happen, road bumps, whatever you want to call it, probably keep rising to the challenge. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be confident approaching this game, even though Wickham have won four of the last five.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, other teams in the league are allowed to be in good form, but sitting top of the league, this side have got a track record of, you know, you don't go 39 games and only lose four of them without beating other teams that are in form themselves. So yeah, it's certainly not going to be a high scoring walkover game. I would bet a lot of money on that. Having said that, we have got no reason to not back the team to pull the result out of the bag. I don't think there'll be more than one clear goal in it, to be honest with you. As you say, Wickham's home record is decent and their home form at the moment is really good. So, yeah, very much not a gimme by any stretch of the imagination. Not that we really have gimmies in this league. The ones that you thought would be gimmies tend to be the games that we've dropped points in this season. So you have to back the team to pick up the result, though, and then I mean, just saying, boys, this time next week, recording the pod next week, if we pick up 6 points from the next two games, boys, just saying.
It's on.
It's on.
Freddie, it was interesting, George, saying that maybe a striker who, in Kasinga Yengi, who will run the channels in behind, could be a little bit more dangerous, even though we think Bishop probably will start due to having the rest. Do you think that could be something we see later in the game? And it's just an interesting profile matchup there, isn't it? Because I don't think we spoke earlier on that maybe you need Bishop's physicality, but maybe it's a little bit more outside their comfort zone to play a player with a bit more pace.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they're if Wickham are picking up points against sides that are below them, then those sides aren't going to have strikers who are as mobile as Cassini, Yengi, and run into the channels, but also having a lot of physical strength. They'll be used to playing against a target man where direct balls are coming into them all the time. So that is something to consider. I think Yengi will definitely have an impact off the bench. I think that's pretty obvious, but I think to go steady with Colby Bishop to start with might be the way to go, just to have a little bit more control in the game.
Andy, with the mix of teams playing around us as well, I mean, this is, we want to win every game, don't we, going down the stretch as we are at this moment in time. But there's some difficult games I'm looking at here. Bolton away at Stevenage, although they're not doing very well at the moment. I think Freddie mentioned this. Was it 10 points in the last 10 games?
I think it might be less than that. They're in a really bad run of form, aren't they, Stevenage?
Still could be a difficult place to go, I suppose. And then you've got Derby are at home to Blackpool. Now, Blackpool's away form isn't great, but do you think we need to get 3 points? Keep it going, I suppose, is the question.
Yeah, it's the classic sort your own business at home and let everyone else worry about their own business, isn't it? Obviously, the games are relevant. To put it mildly, they're extremely relevant, but we're in a position now where if we take care of our own business, what other teams do will be irrelevant. Having said that, I'm still going to be watching those games almost as closely as I am from the stand from our own games. And I've genuinely changed mobile network in the last week, largely because my signal in Fratton Park was so bad to check the other League One scores. It was giving me huge anxiety and I was having to hotspot off people on better networks. So yeah, I've left O2 and joined Vodafone and keeping everything crossed. So yeah, we are looking at other games, let's be honest. But that Blackpool at home game for Derby, I mean, we demonstrated what can happen at home against Blackpool. It's very surprising to me that they've got such a poor away record based off that. Stevenage away is a game that Bolton could slip up 100%. I mean, realistically, I think that Stevenage-Bolton game is bigger than the Derby game. I think you have to be looking at Derby for favourites for second or first, hopefully second. Bolton need to be picking up points with most games now to catch Derby and to catch us. So let's take care of our own business at Wickham. But I mean, if we pick up 3 points and Bolton drop points, it takes a lot of pressure off that Derby game, because the other games are so important. Derby dropping 3 points in Northampton, that's the equivalent of us picking up a win. That 3 point net difference that created, that's taken, you know, that's turned a point next week against Derby into a really good result, which, you know, previously we were like, yeah, 3 points. We really want to pick up that game to almost seal promotion. Them dropping points at Northampton means that a draw next week would be perfectly decent for us, wouldn't it? Although you might disagree with that. I don't know. Do you disagree with that?
No, I don't disagree. I think we need to not lose our games against the top teams around us. But you also think about, with Derby slipping up, maybe teams like Peterborough come back into it for that second spot, I suppose, with the games in hand they have. They're at home to Carlisle. You look at Barnsley. They're at home to Cambridge. Both of those very winnable games. I'd be really surprised if either of those teams don't pick up 3 points. So if Derby don't win the game against Blackpool, they're going to be in the mud, really, in that for that second spot.
Yeah, I think that there's twists and turns. For that second, third and fourth spot, and fifth spot, potentially, there are going to be a number of twists before the end of the season, which is why we need to be clear of it, essentially, because that is going to get congested. Second, third, fourth, fifth is going to be a coin flip for me. We need to not be involved in it. That's why our games are so important. I cannot deal with the stress of that, to be honest with you, to put it mildly.
Yeah, I don't think any of us want to be involved in that. But Freddie, anything else to say on Wickham before I wrap this up? All right. Andy? It's been great having you on the podcast.
Thanks, Bunce. Always a pleasure. 6 points in the next 7 days. We can celebrate promotion next week. Yeah. Mate, I don't even believe it as I'm saying it. Up the Blues. Come on.
Let's have it. Freddie Webb, been a pleasure.
All right, it's been lovely to be back on. And yeah, fingers crossed, Pompey can do this last stretch and we'll see what happens afterwards. I've got faith in them. I just don't want to speak it into existence at the moment.
Yeah, same here. And I won't be at the game on Friday as I recover from my fractured ribs. I will be back at Fratton Park for the Derby game. So have a great day out, boys, and everyone travelling to the Wickham game. And until next time,
play up, Pompey.
You have been listening to the PO Forecast for Pompey News Now, available on SoundCloud, Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Follow PO Forecast and Pompey News Now on Twitter for more information.
And there is the full-time whistle!